Well, when I asked Jim to preach to us this evening, it was quite a bit cooler then. And after this week, I wasn't sure if he was going to come back down from the ranch. I was glad to see him come back down on, I don't know if it was Saturday when he came down or not, Friday or Saturday.
About Thursday,
okay. But, and I got a hunch that it won't be long, probably about as soon as he's done with his sermon, he's probably going to be heading right back up. But I'm glad we got him for a few minutes. Headed east. Heading for cooler country. But I'm glad we have a chance for him to speak to us tonight. And I ask that you'd give your careful and prayerful attention to our brother elder, Jim Yates Sr.
Warm enough for you? You know, my brother and I have left here in January many a time. It was 70 here, and when we got off the plane in Syracuse, it was 25 below. Well, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the ranch where we got water out for the birds and the chipmunks, there was a half inch of ice on it. Thursday morning, it was 39 degrees when I left up there. Got down here to 109, just the opposite. There ought to be a law against that somehow. You know, the weather doesn't make much sense. One extreme or the other. And in the use of the word sense, I want to talk a little bit this evening about common sense. And the use of common sense in the reasoning concerning the gospel. When Brian spoke to us here in April, he touched on a subject that I had been thinking about one way or the other a little bit for quite a while, that I'd like to talk a little bit about this evening. And that is these long-lost gospels that all of a sudden sprouting up here and there and everywhere. And I'd like to start out with this subject of the long-lost gospel of Judas. Now, when we read this article in the paper, it doesn't take you very long to see that things don't fit right, if you know the scriptures and have studied them. In the USA Today, on May 7th, 2006, second paragraph of the article, the statement that Judas was the most senior and trusted disciple of Jesus, and the only one that knew the true identity of Jesus, that he was the Son of God. It kind of makes you start to think, you know, there's something wrong someplace. If we want to talk senior disciple, as the paper did, we'll find that there's something wrong already. You go to Matthew 4, 18 to 22. The story of Jesus when he first started calling his disciples or his apostles. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw another two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. Here we find that he has called four of his original 12, and no mention of Judas. So how could he be a senior disciple? If you want to talk about senior, you'd say, well, maybe Peter was senior because he was the first one called, even though he called Andrew right there at the same time, but he was the first one. So there's no way that Judas can be a senior disciple. Let's go to Matthew 10, 2-4. And now the name of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebedeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, or was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. We find he's clear at the bottom of the list. Nothing senior there about it. This tells me that he was the last one called, not the first or a senior. Now, still in this second paragraph of the article, it states that Judas was the only one who knew the true identity of Jesus as the Son of God. Let's go back to the scriptures again. Matthew 16. Matthew 16:15-17. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Judas wasn't the only one that knew, was he? And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. That's right straight from the horse's mouth. Mark 1:1. Very short verse. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 3:17. This is when Jesus has gone down to the river Jordan to John to be baptized. And as he come up out of the water, they heard a voice. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. There were several people around there that heard that. So we find very quickly in the scripture that Judas wasn't the only one that knew. He might have been the last one to know because everything else has gone against him so far in this article, if you really want to look at it. So we know from the scriptures that there was a lot of people that knew. All we have to do is search. And then, if you recall, when Jesus was, I don't know, on the seashore somewhere, I believe, with the man that was possessed by the devil, and he cast out the devils, and they went into the swine, and they run out into the sea and drowned themselves. And this man said, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice says, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? It's there. There's no problem in finding that there's some falsehoods in this article real quick. Also, we find out that Jesus hanged himself in 33 AD. So how in the world could he have written a gospel in 300 to 400 AD? Impossible. But those down in Tucson, who were scholars down there with carbon 14, put that date on it as the exact date, true date when it was written. So just who did write the Gospel of Judas? Certainly wasn't Judas. Had to be somebody else. The University of Notre Dame theologian Lawrence Cunningham agreed that we don't mean much to, or doesn't mean much of all this nonsense of these Gospels to 99.5% of the Christians. He said, I don't think it will radically change anything. It's not a picture of the accepted Gospels. So why should we believe this much later Gospel that was written centuries later? Unfortunately, the theologians of today also think about the same about the Book of Mormon. Some fly-by-night gospel. Just because you can date a document to early Christian times doesn't make it theologically true, says Pastor Rob Bloy of the First Assembly of God in Little Rock, Arkansas. Do you decide everything you read on the internet or the papers is true because it was written on, here's a very interesting date, April 6th, 2006? Fiction has been around as long as man. Reverend Albert Mover, Jr. of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary dismissed the Gospel of Judas as nothing more than an ancient manuscript that tells an interesting story. A Princeton University religious scholar said, the Gospel of Judas, along with other works, such as the Gospels of the Mary Magdalene, and others were denounced by the early church, but they loved and copied and circulated by people who often thought themselves as Christians. As we read these things, we find that not all of these religious scholars believe in these lost manuscripts, which is good. They're not all being misled. Then there's the lost Gospel of Mary Magdalene. In the text, it claims that she and Jesus set in a mysterious meeting in the garden. Jesus reassured Mary that, yes, indeed he had risen and had returned with a secret teaching that she was to write down, but not to share with the others until the day came that it was ready to be brought forth. I asked myself, ready for what? Something new? A new doctrine? And that's exactly what it was. Something new. The message he supposedly gave her describes the founding of a female priesthood to act as a balance to the male-oriented ministry founded by Peter. Again, the cogs turn, don't they? And the establishment of a new church in the far future. In the first place, Peter didn't establish the priesthood. He didn't found anything. He was just one of the 12 that was called to the church that was founded by our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:1. We find that, you know, that here it tells us about the calling of the 12 disciples. And this church that's supposed to be founded in the far future that's spoken of in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. I don't believe it has a thing to do with the church that was reestablished in 1830. Not established, reestablished. She's supposed to establish a church. So it hadn't got a thing to do with us. Archaeologists digging in the Holy Land are the ones who discovered the lost gospel of Mary Magdalene. They say that after translating them, we think that we can authoritatively say that these writings by a religious community who retreated into the desert to live apart from society wasn't even written by her neither, just like Judas. Somebody else wrote it. So how'd her name get on it? And it makes you wonder, did anybody ever read in the second chapter of Peter, first chapter, 21st verse, 21 verse? 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy came not by old time by the will of man, but holy men of God that spake and were moved by the Holy Ghost. Both the Gospel of Judas and the Gospel of Mary were given in secret. Jesus doesn't work that way. Everything he does and did when he was here on the face of the earth, he did out in the open. Nothing secret about anything that he ever done. He didn't hide anything that he done from the children of men. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. And so all of a sudden, he didn't decide to change and do things in secret. He did the same as he did all through time, out in the open. So then it makes you wonder, the time he spent with his disciples or his apostles after resurrection, did he teach this so-called gospel to them? When he came to the Americas and he chose his 12 here, did he teach them that same thing and the people of the Americas? I don't think so. I don't see it anywhere in the scriptures. You can't find it in either book of the scriptures. It's not there. The deception, though, doesn't stop there. It goes on and on. Now it comes along with the Da Vinci Code. That's out and circulating about. Even the movies been made about it. And it caused so much problems that in some countries, and I can't remember whether it's Salvador or El Salvador, even banned it to be shown there in their country. But I'm sure that there's more of this same type of stuff to come forth. Satan knows well the time that we live in. So he has to get out there and work as hard as he can while he can. It's interesting the time of history that he picked to do just this. Now, I just wonder as I look around the crowd, the audience, there's not too many people here that can remember when there wasn't TV. Just radio. And the radios were as big as this pulpit. All kinds of tubes and transformers and wires and everything. And then there was even something other than that. How many of you ever heard of or saw a crystal set? Not many. I used a crystal set prior to the radio. No electricity in any way, shape, or form. Just an antenna, a ground wire, a pair of earphones, and what they call a cat whisker and a crystal. And you could get all kinds of music and everything else over it, all radio stations. But in the event of TV, anything he wants to be brought forth all of a sudden can be spread worldwide. We can find it here right now. By the time we get outside, if they got the camera here, the world's going to see it and know it. So he can cause that all of this nonsense can be brought forward at any time because he knows that it's going to be spread worldwide and it's going to deceive a lot of people. Now, these writings that I have been reading about have been rejected by most churches. They claim the writings contain heresies that include the idea that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and that they had a child and that Jesus wasn't divine. It goes on and on. But there again, you got to take a look at what it said there. It said that he was married to Mary Magdalene. Well, Jesus is not a polygamist. He has a wife, and it's called the church. He's got a bride. And he caused things to be written that he has to follow just like the rest of us. And he caused that they should be written and preserved that we might know what he wants us to do. Jacob 3:36, page 172. Wherefore, my brethren, hear me and hearken to the word of the Lord. For there shall not be any man among you, save he have one wife, and concubines he shall have none. Contrary to what they say in the paper, isn't it? Or these lost gospels. You remember when Brian did speak here last, I think it was April? He said all you have to do is cast a little doubt and you can sway a lot of people's thinking. That's how these smart lawyers a lot of times get people off that are guilty of sin, because they cause a little doubt in the jury. And so they throw it out. Or a hung jury. Well, I'd like to say that I'm trying anyway to cause a little doubt the other way here tonight. That take a look at these things and see that they're wrong there. It's too bad that all of these so-called lost gospels, Da Vinci Code and what have you, the religious findings are not like the Dead Sea Scrolls that prove instead of try to disprove. We need to use some good old common sense when we read these things. And listen to that still small voice. When we run across the words, that don't sound right. Look it up. Find it. See what it says and what it means. I'd like to read an article to you about common sense. It says, today we mourn the passing of a beloved old friend by the name of common sense. Seems like common sense has been replaced by educated fools. Today we mourn the passing of the loved, beloved old friend by the name of common sense, who has been with us for many years. No one knows for sure how old he was, since his birth records were long ago lost in bureaucratic red tape. He will be remembered for having cultivated such valuable lessons as knowing when to come out of the rain, why the early bird gets the worm, and why life isn't always fair. Common sense lives simply. Sound financial policies, don't spend more than you earn, and reliable parenting strategies, adults, not kids, are in charge. His health began to rapidly deteriorate when well-intentioned, overbearing regulations were set in place. Reports of a 6-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate. Teens suspended from school for using mouthwash after lunch. And a teacher fired for reprimanding an unruly student only worsened his condition. It declined even farther when schools were required to get parental consent to administer an aspirin to a student, but not to inform parents when a student became pregnant and wanted to have an abortion. Common sense lost all will to live as the Ten Commandments became contraband. Churches became businesses. Criminals received better treatment than their victims. Common sense finally gave up the ghost after a woman failed to realize that a steaming cup of hot coffee was hot and spilled it in her lap and was awarded a huge settlement. Common sense was preceded in death by his parents, truth and trust. His wife, discretion. His daughter, responsibility. His son, reason. He is survived by two stepbrothers. My rights, and I'm a whiner. Not many attended his funeral because so few realized that he was gone. I'd like to read one last scripture. It's a very good one to remember. In fact, I think it's a must when reading the scriptures or so-called scriptures. We should always use good common sense and pray about what we read and the answers that we get to know their truth. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Thank you.